Welcome to Y2 Killers. I'm Dr. Benny Graves, the naked playing card ladies that are gifted to a Grampy. And whiz me, as always, is the raw dogging in the pool to my tween danger, Hammy Swammy.
Buggy Sammy.
How you doing, Mama?
A lot better than mentioned on Sale of Satan, where my back was all janked up.
Because Bane beat you up.
Or I moved a mattress over the age of 35.
So, you think you know more than me about the Gilmore Girls?
As if.
Where you go, I will follow.
Right? That's actually pretty good. I appreciate that. Can you sing the rest of the intro?
Absolutely not. All right. We are talking about a Hammy pick.
Yes.
Which is going to be your birthday pick.
No.
Because by the time this comes out, it will be your birthday.
Everyone yell at Ben. It will be my birthday, March 14th. I accept cash gifts and other gifts like jewels and diamonds.
Jewels, the rich
or
stuff.
You can just yell at Ben and tell him that I should get another birthday pick because this should have come out earlier. But then, you know, some of us were injured and some of us were busy. And so now it's our birthday pick. But really, we had another great classic from the early 2000s that I was going to pick for my birthday.
Well, we're going to pick one of mine and then we'll go back to you.
Fine. This is not fair.
I know. Well, you know, and you got the right to vote.
For how long? Check in next year when I don't and I've been shot in the head.
Could be.
Wait, actually.
I have some fun announcements. First and foremost.
Yes.
We started another podcast for the Seal of Satan Podcast Network.
Because one podcast, two podcasts, three? No, we only have two. Well, you're in two.
Well, yeah. Also, you know, Hell Fidelity. The point is...
So your fourth podcast.
We're diversifying merchandising.
You're diversifying your portfolio, right?
That's right. It's called Savage Babes. I'm doing it with Jonald Sutherland.
Yep.
We have an episode out about Never Too Young to Die, the John Stamos, James Bond Jr. pseudo movie that features some really unfortunate sexual dynamics involving Gene Simmons.
I mean, anything involving Gene Simmons is unfortunate.
And often a sexual dynamic.
Hey-o!
And then the other fun announcement I have is that I will be heading up to Buffalo,
yes,
New York.
That is up.
On July 27th to do the introduction to a screening of Mausoleum, fucking amazing midnight schlock movie. I also did a review for Morgue for that at the Screening Room Cinema Cafe. And that's going to be the day before. And that's hosted by my buddy Silk Screams, who prints amazing shirts. And the next day, he will be running the Buffalo Horror Garage sale.
Will you be joined by anyone?
I will be joined by Yasmina.
Oh, Yasmina.
Of the Rewind Zone.
Yes.
For Rumorg.
For Rumorg, yep.
And our good friend.
And our good Canadian friend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, eh?
And
I'll be there, too, because I'm cool.
You're very cool, hon.
Yeah, people like me, too. It's not
very
just about...
Very cool.
Very cool.
And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to meet a lot of people, including Jordan. I know that she's going to be vending there.
Yep.
Subatomic Mini.
I want one of those garbage plates that they're always talking about. It's like a buffalo thing, and they talk about garbage plates. I don't know if we can find like a vegan one, but I'm sure I could find a vegetarian one.
Well, my buddy Kane Enabler was the guy who told me about Boss Sauce, because we were in Wegmans, and there was like a jar of
Boss Sauce.
Indefinable red sauce that had like a label that hasn't been changed since the 70s. And I was like, ooh, what's that? Ooh, I want that.
It's like, it's not a vinegar-based hot sauce.
I think there is a vinegar in there.
Is it vinegar-based hot sauce?
It tastes a lot, like it's got like a real sweet and sour kind of profile to it. I'm interested to try the spicy version.
Oh, I want to try the spicy version.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited to do that. We talked about my review. I am trying to do a bi-weekly reviews for Rumorg.
Yes.
The Analog Abattoir.
They're very good. I am unbiased. I mean, I'm biased, but also if you sucked at writing, I would probably just tell you.
Thanks, honey. Great.
I'd be like, you should probably work on that more, sweet pea.
You're like, oh, honey, the script for Veronica is so good.
It's me, Fred Armisen. Danzig, don't change a thing.
Well, let's talk about it. We watched
Death Rider in the House of Vampipes.
Yeah, we tried to watch Death Rider in the House of Vampires because I think, without question, Veronica's a better movie.
So, with that being said, if you've ever seen Veronica and you're like, oh, hey, Glenn, you couldn't possibly do a worse movie. Well, you'd be fucking wrong.
Yeah, and to clarify, we're talking about Glenn Danzig. Who directed this film. And for the uninitiated. But we are initiated, Hammy, into the girls of Gilmore. See, I went back to the
I see. You brought it back. That's good for storytelling. No, but I'm putting this out here because eventually it'll come out. But so I'm not going to tell you about the movie because nobody should watch it. But if you do, Fred Armisen is in that movie.
And how does he know Glennie?
He knows Glenn Danzig from Portlandia because they did like the goth beach sketch. Yeah. And I have a theory.
One of the few moments that he was self-aware, that and Aqua Teen.
But I have a theory that Fred Armisen became good friends with Glenn Danzig, which is why he's in his horrendous movie. And Glenn Danzig is like, oh, Fred Armisen, you're a big time movie star guy. I bet you know lots about movies. And I feel like Glenn asked him about Death Rider in the House of Vampire and was like, hey, should there be any music during any of the scenes?
Should there be any music?
Or ambient noise?
Should there be ambient noise? Should there be diegetic music? I'm Glenn Danzig. Famous musician, should I have music in my movie?
And I feel that Fred Armisen was like, no, Glenn. No, it's perfect as is. Don't have any sound. Don't have any music. And I feel that this is a long con on Fred Armisen just cackling in his mansion to the fact that he convinced Glenn Danzig not to have music in his fucking movie.
Fred Armisen has a mansion?
Whoa, come on.
The Armisen Mansion?
I'm sure Fred Armisen, with all of he's done, he's probably got a very nice New York apartment that costs like millions.
Yeah.
So, like, if he lived in a house, he'd have a mansion.
I feel like affordable housing. We love Armisen.
I'm not shitting on Fred Armisen. I think he's a genius because he totally fucked with Glenn Danzig, is my theory.
I'm just thinking about what Fred Armisen's housing is like. Anyway.
I imagine it's just that one episode of 30 Rock. He's the neighbor.
That's right. What do you got for me, Boo Boo? You have anything exciting?
Well, we're going to Shockstock. Is that soon enough
to
talk about?
That's
going
to be in May.
Oh, okay. Well, forget about that then.
But, you know, we will be going to Shockstock in Canada.
Cantata.
With our friends Sheila and David.
Sheila and David, eh?
And it's going to be the best.
So, yeah, if you guys are interested in Shockstock, I think there's still tickets available. Yeah.
Yes. And, speaking of which, to plug the Canadians, we got a lot of people to plug. Blood Opera. Our friend Coop's band just put out a new album, Songs in the Key of Death. And if you know what that's a reference to, we're friends. And it's great.
The cover art is great. I haven't listened to it yet, to be quite honest. But everything they do is so wonderful.
The music is fantastic.
They're also visually a fun fucking band.
Yeah, they opened for Gwar. They opened for Macabre.
They have a big bloody dick dildo
thing.
They
got a big wiener.
It's great.
Both literally and in the performance.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, give him
a listen. I don't think there's anything that I've been up to. The back thing kind of threw me out. I do want to shout out my boy Cody on Instagram though, because he was the one that told me about a TEND system, which is those little magnet things I put on my back, and it shocks my like nerves so I don't have excruciating back pain. So for all my back pain homies, go check out a TEND system.
You're lucky I didn't catch you doing it, because Professor Xavier has the helmet that he wears called Cerebro that allows him to communicate with other mutants. So if I caught that, I'd be like, Charles, you're supposed to wear it on your head.
I used to do that at therapy. There's like different little micro things I would put on my brain that Dr. Jeff would do for me, and it would like shock my brain so I wasn't so goofy.
To communicate with Gorsh!
No, I'm not the brother in Swim Fan.
Oh, brother.
We'll get to him.
Yes. Speaking of which, we are talking about Swim Fan. All right.
This is your second watch?
My second watch, yeah.
Because I made you watch this, probably a couple of years ago when we first started dating. I was like, Ben, we got to watch this movie, Swim Fan. It's the greatest ever. And I had it on DVD.
DVD.
That I might have got the Princeton Record Exchange years ago or some weird thrift store because who the fuck wants to buy Swim Fan on DVD? But now we own it on DVD and VHS.
A white Hollywood Video VHS.
So, yeah, we're not rich, but you could say that we're rich.
People wouldn't know that I won the lottery, but there would be signs. It's multiple white Hollywood videos. Yeah, so directed by John Polson, who's done not a lot of stuff.
Oh, I didn't look him up.
And this year in horror, a lot of interesting stuff.
What year is this? This is 2002.
2002, yeah.
So I would have been 14. We both would have been 14.
Queen of the Damned.
Ugh. Shut up, Kay.
28 Days Later. Love
Never
that
saw
flick.
It.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa, you fucked up. I gotta show you that movie.
I feel like everybody says
no,
that.
No, you're gonna
care.
Like it. Shut up. Shut up.
It's Cillian Murphy, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's hot. Do you know he's mad short?
No.
He's I think only 5'8".
Oh, man.
He's got that big dick energy, though.
He had to be on that step stool to build that bomb. May, which we've been told by multiple people to watch.
Oh, I do want to watch that. Yeah, I think actually, speaking of Yaz, she told us to watch it.
Yeah. Cabin Fever, which is connected.
Which I fucking love. Yeah, we'll talk about the connection.
The Ring.
Ring.
I think it's a good movie.
I saw
Not the
Ring.
Japanese one.
I saw The Ring in theaters at North Brunswick Theater. And I remember when that little fucking bitch crawls out the TV at the end, everyone fucking screamed.
Ooh, that must have been a great theater experience.
It was actually a really great experience. And everyone was like, this is fucking terrifying. And then she crawls out of the TV and all of us were just
Were people bugging out during the video with the fingernails and the boobs?
I can't remember. I just remember that people lost their shit when she came out of the TV. Okay, I think that part is still very effective.
That's a beautifully shot movie.
I still love that movie. And Naomi Watts is... And Mommy. Me, Brian Cox, I'm taking a bath with all these toasters.
What did we watch recently that had Brian Cox in it and he was slumming it?
It's one of the trailers I think we watched for Swim Fan, wasn't it?
Okay.
It wasn't Freddy Got Fingered?
No. Brian
it
Cox...
Was it Wolf, Dark Wolf, or
he
whatever?
He wasn't in that. You might be thinking because Brian Cox is in X-Men 2.
Maybe that's what we saw
which
a trailer
he's good
for.
In,
yeah.
As Colonel Stryker.
Yes.
Who famously led the Weapon X program, which included Wolverine and Deadpool. And then in Wolverine X-Men Origins, they did a bad job.
Anyways, Swim Fan.
Yeah. So, who's in the cast of this big
one? Okay.
Oh, wait. My last one for this year in horror? Resident Evil.
Okay, I have... You know this, but I'm going to confess it to the people, and I might have confessed it before, but I don't care. I love the Resident Evil movies. I never played the games. I don't give a fuck about them, but anytime...
Well, John just has an aneurysm.
I know, John just had an aneurysm and is tearing apart the studio.
He's pressing the life alert. His Resident Evil brand life alert.
But it doesn't do anything because it was just from a McDonald's toy.
It just says stars. Stars.
No, I love the Resident Evil movies, and Amber and I, whenever they would come out, we would go, and we would just...
I watched quite a few of them in the theaters. They're bad.
We watched almost all of them, and I think, at least the first four we saw in theaters, and I remember we'd only be, the only two people there. I was just these movies rule!
I mean, I think, in hindsight, the
they're
first one
movies.
Is good.
Yeah, it's
the
good.
Rest are not good, but they're entertaining.
I know that they're not good movies, but I really like them, and I think they do something fun.
We're gonna have to do a rewatch so you can reevaluate your
and
opinion
Mila Jovovich, whatever. Yeah, it's Mila Jovovich, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. She is...
Well, that director left his wife for her.
Well, I'd leave you for her, so...
God damn it.
You'd leave me for Shirley Stallone.
Lesbians.
Lesbians.
The cast.
Okay,
now we can do the cast.
This banger of a fucking banger. We have a Jesse Bradford in our titular Swim Fan role of Ben Cronin.
Good name.
It's a good name. So we millennial women all know him as Cliff from Bring It On because he was the cool punk brother. And we're like, oh, my God.
I have
yeah.
seen that movie. Do you know why I like that movie?
Elijah Dushku.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's her brother in that movie.
I
so
know. Maybe she falls into a washing machine and she gets trapped. And he comes downstairs and he sees that juicy ass.
No, that doesn't happen.
Okay.
He was in Presumed Innocence, which I forgot, which is an old Harrison Ford movie, but he's like a little kid in it. And I was like, oh, I have seen this movie. Flags of Our Fathers, which I didn't watch. A bunch of crap that nobody gives a fuck about. I don't know. He just like...
Well, but where do we know him from that we covered an episode on?
Oh, he's in Cherry Falls.
That's right. He gets like yanked at the beginning of the movie, which is interesting. I wonder whether or not that's just like him doing the Drew Barrymore thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or I don't know how. I don't know where his star was in the air at that point. I know, right?
Who could know? He is not aged well.
He looks weird.
He looks weird. Maybe he'll have like that middle transition period where you go from hot to kind of weird, and then he'll get older.
Like, I mean, no disrespect. He looks a little like Jeffrey Combs.
Yes, yes. He went from kind of like hunky punky boy to like
a dad.
Yeah, he looks like a dad, which should work for me, but doesn't.
Well, he doesn't look like a dad powered by cigarettes and Miller High Life, so that's why it doesn't work for you.
And Madison Bale's role is Erica Christensen, who I really like. I feel like she should...
I think she's hot.
I think she deserves
more. You know what her problem is? Not Mm-mm. her problem, but you know what the problem with her career was? She is like... she's very similar looking to Julia Stiles.
I agree, but as somebody who used to get compared to Julia Stiles when I was like in high school, I'll take it. So you're basically saying I'm hot too.
Okay, sure. If we can make those type of neurospicy connections, by all means.
We're doing it. But Erica Christensen was in Traffic, Flight Pan, Swim Fan, The Perfect Score, which I pseudo remember that movie. I don't know.
Oh, that was the SAT, Steal the SAT movie.
Yeah, she was that Cheaper by the Dozen updated version, which I don't think anybody gave a fuck about. And now she's in that show Will Trent as Angie Pulaski.
Of course.
The only reason I know about Will Trent is I was listening to the Murdoch Murders podcast or True Sunlight podcast, and they did like an ad run for it. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I saw a horrible commercial for it on Tubi, maybe. So it's
It's that TV money, baby. And you're not getting residuals anymore. So
No. The next person we have in the girlfriend of Amy Miller role is Sherry Appleby, which I feel like I should know her
was
more.
Was she in The Rules of Attraction?
I don't think that was her. Her top credits are...
Oh, no, it wasn't her. It was the girl from Night's Tale.
13th Floor.
Okay.
Charlie Wilson's War. Roswell. I guess maybe that's where she made her
money. The 13th Floor, the horror movie? From the 80s? It's got like...
From 99.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Which had Craig Burko. Oh, it has Vincent D'Onofrio in it. Anyways, it doesn't matter. She's cute. I like her in this
movie. She's got some Rooney Mara vibes.
So, remember how we were saying that Carla Cronin, who's Ben Cronin's mom, Jesse Bradford's mom in this movie, we're like, oh, who is she? Her name is Kate Burton.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what movie she was in?
She's Cliff Burton's mother.
Very close to the Burton thing. Think about our favorite people with the last name Burton.
Tim Burton.
No. Cooler than that.
No one's cooler than
Beer
Cliff
John
Burton.
Would be very disappointed in you right now.
Who is it? LeVar Burton.
No. She's from Big Trouble in Little China. She plays Margot.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. So, for all of our Big Trouble in Little China fans, that the mom was... cool in the 80s, so you know it's sad to see her in this movie because she is slumming it.
Yeah,
but she was also in Unfaithful, The Ice Storm.
Oh my god, Unfaithful is such a horny movie.
A movie called Gut.
Who's the older dude you want to fuck? Who's in Unfaithful? Richard Gere.
Oh my god.
Well, Diane Lane not. Oh my godding, she's going after that European hunk.
No, I would take a young Richard Gere in American Gigolo. Oh mommy, he just fucking wore those pants.
If you hear some muck banging, it's because we're drinking coffee.
Oh, yeah. What are we drinking, by the way? We're drinking...
Starbees.
We're drinking our Starbees.
I haven't had Starbees in forever.
Yeah, I haven't had as much. We have been old people and trying to cut down our caffeine. So.
Turns out, as you get older, doctors tell you continuing to party makes your body worse? Tell that to the Beastie Boys, the true doctors.
Exactly. As Josh, who has, like, three scenes in this movie, but it's kind of important, is Clayne Crawford, C-L-A-Y-N-E. That's how you say it, like Clayne?
Jeez.
I thought I was like...
Do you think it was one of those chop job names for Hollywood? Like
I don't
changed
know,
his name
man.
To be an actor, and then people were like, the fuck? He's doing a Chris Pratt.
Yeah, but he was in Lethal Weapon as Martin Riggs, the TV series version.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't he get kicked off of that for being like a weirdo or some shit?
I don't know. I didn't read about
him.
Oh,
I think
he was also in
like
A Walk to Remember, The Perfect Host, which who
could... Walk to the Remember, that's where What's-Your-Face gets AIDS, right?
Yep, AIDS or cancer. Who knows? I don't care because I hate both those people. Anyways, as
you hate AIDS?
Yes, because it kills people. As Randy, you guys know last name, is Jason Ritter, who we love. Oh, yeah,
also slumming it in this.
He is slumming
it in this. He has, like, two scenes where we see him from a distance be like, what up, dude? And then he leaves.
But he is best known from Freddy vs. Jason, which we've already covered. But he is also John Ritter's son, and he is married, I've probably already said this, to Melanie Lynskey. And yes. I follow their relationship online, and it's and very cute.
His dad was in the movie Stay Tuned, which I love.
Oh, yeah, we just showed that to Tobias. Yeah, if you guys have never seen Stay Tuned, it's, what, 92, 93?
It's early 90s.
It's so fucking good.
It has, he's such a great actor, but unfortunately, a child diddler?
Yeah.
Child, me. A sex pest? Jeffrey Jones.
And
the best way to describe it is it's definitely Wholesale was ripped off for that interdimensional cable Rick and Morty episode.
Yes. As the friend Renee, who gets literally zero, like, 0.3 seconds of screen time.
Black friend.
Is Kia Goodwin. And unfortunately, she really wasn't in much. She was in 227, Platinum, some Law and Order stuff.
If you thought that the use of a black character in House of Wax was insulting, have I got a bridge to sell you about how she is literally Chekhov's black girl in this movie.
And then, as the older guy, Mr. Tillman, that Jesse Bradford's character gives the grampy nudie cards to, his name is Michael Higgins, and you guys wouldn't know him from anything. He's in Angel Heart, but I know him as Paul from the conversation with my husband, Gene Hackman. So
your husband, who if you like tried to give him a hand job, his dick would turn into dust.
I'm fine with that. And then I saved the best for last. We have major slumming it in this movie is me, Dan Hedaya.
Wait. Did you talk about who plays Dante?
Oh, I skipped over him. Oh, wait. He's really far down. Okay. But we'll talk about Dan Hedaya.
Okay.
Dan Hedaya is Coach Simpkins, and we all know Dan Hedaya as Cher's dad from Clueless, and he was also in Mulholland Drive, and he was in Commando and The Usual Suspects. Dan Hedaya is just...
And I know him from Alien Resurrection as the bumbling military commander.
But I love Dan Hedaya.
He gets blown up with a grenade.
Yes. I guess.
Oh, no, sorry. The back of his head gets, like, ripped open.
Then finally, as Christopher Dante, the cousin of Madison Bell, played by Erica Christensen, is James DeBello, who we all know from Detroit Rock City, Cabin Fever, Scary Movie 2, American Pie. He's in a bunch of stuff.
Thing about this dude in this movie is, I'll extrapolate more on it in only the ways that Peanut can, but this guy looks like a jock. This guy has looked like a kind of good-looking jock, and the way they paint-stained overalls him in this not great.
Well, I remember watching this movie because, spoilers, I saw this movie when I was like 15, 16, I guess, whenever it came on video, you know what I mean? And it is horny. And I remember he's supposed to be like the creepy weirdo cousin or whatever.
One, he's not in the movie enough to establish that. Two, there's some acting things that he's doing, which I'll get into at the beginning, that I guess are supposed to relay to me that he's weird. But
sure, weird.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's our cast. And then you want to hear about the soundtrack?
Well, I got to talk trivia first.
Oh, okay.
But I don't have much. It was filmed in New Jersey and New York.
Yes, that is the cool part. It was filmed in Bayonne and like cool Bergen part. County area. Yeah, yeah.
Not shockingly heavily based off of Fatal Attraction, as well as a movie we have danced around for some time. I feel like there are two movies we've danced around for a while. I keep wanting you to watch the De Palma movie Sisters with Margot Kidder.
I do want
to
watch it.
But also Play Misty for Me with Clint Eastwood.
We own that on VHS. And
I know,
now
I bought it for you.
Do you know what's so weird is you bought me that and I have now found like six other copies.
That's how it happens, dude. The VHS collecting theory. Once you own it, you see it everywhere.
It was like Murder by Death. I finally got it.
Or Death Wish 3.
Yes. But yes, Play Misty for Me with Clint Eastwood is awesome. And I can't wait to show you that because I watched that probably too young to fully appreciate it, but I remember seeing like one of those VH1 lists of like the best movies or like craziest movies, and that was one of them, and I was like, oh. But yeah,
Oh, and so, yeah, soundtrack, which if you want to be a Y2K kid, you should be able to have to endure this soundtrack from beginning to end.
Jesus Christ. I was actually, so earlier today, I was in Ulta and in Target, and the girlies will know what I'm talking about, but like the 10-year-old Sephora girls were in there, and I was so overrun by little girls that want to be like fucking millennial, like
fashion.
Y2K fashion. I was like, I want to like stick you in a like
time travel booth
that you can't get out of and make you listen to this soundtrack. It is awful.
Marty, it's about the sexism and homophobia of the early 2000s.
That's the thing. This movie has no F-bombs. Like,
shocking.
Which is very shocking.
I mean, it does have
or R-bombs.
A view ultimately on women that is not so good.
Yeah, but whatever. That's still relevant today.
What? No. we eliminated misogyny when Obama became president.
Oh, yeah. We also got rid of racism.
Remember, he flew the drones over and killed all the misogyny.
Huh. I think that is how that works. Anyways, for our cool-ass soundtrack that I had to read a few down and then find a band I knew to know what was the song and what was the band.
Oh, real quick. I'm sorry. Before I posted on Instagram the ad for the soundtrack for Batman and Robin.
Or Batman Forever.
No, Batman Forever.
Yeah.
And obviously Kiss by a Rose, front and center, absolute banger, number
banger.
One. But then it was like, it's so weird. Because it's all over the place.
It
fucking
is.
Mazzy stars on the soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to have to revisit that movie.
It's fucking weird.
Anyways, so to start off, I'm just going to read off of, you know, oh my God, I pulled up YouTube. I don't want that. Just to read off the Googles. So we have everything by Pacifier. I don't know. Greater Than, Less Than by Saliva.
Oh man, Saliva's on there.
Yeah. Cave by Celebrity.
Of course.
Deny by Default.
Mm-hmm.
Slow Down by Wayne. I'm shrugging this whole
time. But where's Garth? Oh!
Oh! Black by Seven Dust. I that's the band I know.
Oh, I know them. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Hole. Like a whole item, mm-hmm. Not like a hole in your butt.
Oh, not like
not buttholes.
Or Courtney
a hole
Love.
In your head. Yeah. That one. By Flaw. I don't know how these people are. Down in Me, Ayo, by Allergic. Roll Over and Play Dead by Portable. Clueless by Pay the Girl. Too Much Too Soon by Llama. Jesus Says by Ash.
There
so,
was
all these
you know
great
what?
Bands that really stuck around,
yeah,
and I didn't question whether they were a band or the song every time I read this
What
list.
Do we think is more annoying, though? The fact that all those are one-word bands, or that 2000 screamo trend of calling them, like, the Shark versus Masturbation
oh, that's
Disaster.
Worse. That's worse.
General like, Zod versus my jizz.
Well,
you
there
know?
Was like what? Scary Kids Scaring Kids, and I was mm-hmm. like, ugh.
The red jumpsuit apparatus.
Just stop with
I
the
wrestled
one.
A bear once.
Oh yeah, I remember I wrestled
Dance,
a bear
Gavin,
once.
Dance.
Dance Gavin Dance. I feel like there's other ones.
There were more obnoxious
yeah.
things, but luckily they were lost to time.
LMFAO.
Mm. Mm. But they did acronym.
Weep.
What is who's this it's supposed to be That we party
red. We party red. Ringo Stark?
No.
The other one that died? That got shot in the head?
No.
He's Lincoln. Like, Kennedy.
You're now just doing presidents? We party red.
Who are you thinking of?
He's a famous whiny 60s.
Oh, Bob Dylan.
Yes.
Yeah. My dad liked Bob Dylan.
There we go. There
I
we
like
go.
Bob Dylan.
Party Rock is in the house tonight.
I would listen to that. You know his son is from the Wallflowers, right?
Bum, bum, bum.
Brandon Dylan.
Bum, 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 bum.
All right. Just stare at me like that. Whatever.
We party red.
Okay. Moving on to Swim Fan. The people demand the horny
yeah,
teen.
They demanded it.
It's a little weird watching this movie as an adult. Because these are supposed to be teenagers, and we are adults in our mid-30s, and it's like, the same reason I can't watch Euphoria. I'm like, I can't watch teen sex show.
The
like,
child fuck show, yeah.
The child fuck show? I can't watch this. And people are like, well, they're of age. I'm like, no, no. But the implication.
I mean,
the
I can watch Sydney Sweeney do a lot of stuff.
Well, I know you can, Sweet Tea.
But look at those warlocks.
She's got some major bazingas. Except yeah. in Madam Web, she's wearing overalls and glasses. How could she be hot?
It's literally like, it's like an outfit for a Vivid porno shoot.
Vivid porno shoot, hey.
Vivid is the company.
Oh, okay.
Vivid Video.
Got it.
Vivid.com.
Vivid.com, got it. Shout out to Vivid.com. Come sponsor us.
come, use the quote, come sponsor us with a U for a free pocket pussy.
Hey, man, whatever. I'll take a sponsorship. The ideal sponsorship is Taco Bell. Taco Bell, hit us up.
Oh, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well.
Live Moss with our code, come.
Why is your code just come for everything?
All right, we got some trailers first.
Yes, yes.
We get the
Not
trailer.
Great trailers, though.
Well, first, we get a trailer I think is great, X-Men 2. One of the pre...
With me, Brian Cox.
Yeah. You got nowhere to go, Wolverine! Great movie.
Does he say, like, you should have killed me?
No, that's... That's Magneto. He's like, you should have killed me when you had the chance,
that's
Charles.
That's the guy that's a Jew. Got it.
Ian McKellen. Yes. Well, in the
yes. movie, he's a Jew.
That's
I remember
correct.
That. Yes.
Yes. Good that that's the part you remember.
Hey. Me and my Jews.
I think at the time, so the first X-Men movie came out, and there's some really corny stuff in it. And this one, yes, it's a little corny, but it also isn't kind of like the edges haven't been shaved off. It hasn't been completely neutered of its tone,
it's
like modern Marvel stuff.
It's also got Halle Berry in it.
It's got a
Rebecca
stacked cast. If you think about it, you had a lot of A-list actors in this. And now I guess there are a ton of A-list actors in superhero movies because there are only so many checks that they can get,
exactly.
you know, from things that aren't superhero movies. Hopefully this trend is dying, which it sounds like it is. But yeah.
Hopefully.
May 2nd, 2003. And it's like, they play that funk, that fucking song. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And
yeah, everyone at home is nodding their head like, yep.
Lady Death strikes in that one. Mm-hmm. We have some really cool scenes with Wolverine revisiting the bunker where they did Weapon X that I mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah. Weapon X with the Powerpuff Girls. I got it.
That's, what is it?
Chemical X.
Chemical
I think.
X, yeah.
Yeah.
Chemical X would also have been...
What's Brand X from? Is that a Tarantino thing? No.
No.
Brand X is something else.
Wasn't that a skating company?
No. It was like a movie thing.
There wasn't Max Headroom?
I don't think so.
Fuck. Someone knows and they'll
Somebody
be mad.
Somebody's screaming
Someone's
this.
Mad.
Sorry, guys.
we're
a little bit the cousin in this movie. So. Oh, man. I forgot to take my medication. Yeah, we're going to get real off the charts.
The next trailer.
I just had all this caffeine.
Bend It Like Beckham.
I remember watching this movie and I wanted them to be lesbians so bad and they're not lesbians.
I always
spoilers.
Thought that it would kind of go in that direction.
Well, that's like the joke, or not the joke really, but like the faux pas because she's obviously like a very British Indian family, you know, and stuff like
Traditional
that.
Traditional Indian family.
Yeah. And the mom thinks she's a lesbian and I don't think anybody's a lesbian, which is unfortunate because as somebody
that's a running joke actually it's an extremely inappropriate running joke that her and Keira Knightley in one of her early roles
smash and puss well I can say that I'm a girl it's feminism here on Women's Day but
that was also killed by Reagan during Operation Desert Storm
but I remember watching that movie and I was like I guess like I grew up playing soccer I played rec soccer and I played traveling soccer and I was very good center forward and also goalie depending on which team I was playing for
lesbian
of course and that movie just did not resonate with me I was like
it was
fine.
A fun enough movie I think probably it has aged badly. What I noticed when we were watching this and when the edibles were kicking in was that it was interesting to watch a movie and have all these trailers across the board. Now
everything is
so curated. And I don't know whether or not... I guess maybe that is weird because if you watch, you know, horror VHS often, it's horror movies. They try to make it, you know... correlate to whatever you're watching.
Yeah, these trailers are kind of all over the place. They're not even like hitting specific age range, I guess. Maybe they
are. So it was either interesting to see that people used to be interested in a wider level of genre, or it could be that this can speak to where horror was at the time, where people were like, we don't know what to do with this.
Yeah.
We have Bend It Like Beckham. Then we have... On VHS and DVD, Brown Sugar.
I've heard of this movie, and I feel racist saying that I know nothing about it.
It's got Queen Latifah in it.
I do love Queen Latifah. Her and Bringing Down the House, very good movie.
Then we got kind of like a proto. This feels like a movie that, someone's going to be screaming, Fincher didn't direct 1 hour photo, right?
No, I don't think
it so. It feels like a Fincher movie, though.
I watched 1 hour photo, but it was like one of those things I think I watched on like TBS or TNT. So like, I'm sure if I went back, there's probably some more fucked up shit, but that movie freaked me out.
It's creepy.
Dude. Freaked me out.
It feels kind of ahead of its time.
It was one of the roles that obviously Robin Williams took that wasn't like a funny role and he was very good in. I think this might have been the first role he took that he wasn't like the funny guy in it.
Well, I don't know if we've talked about it already, but we find that there is a huge correlation between comedians going into horror genre, mm-hmm. because if you understand comedy, you also understand the other end of the coin.
Well, that's why it's like those two little mask guys. You know?
Jordan Peele.
Yes.
And then, the guy from who did direct Barbarian, who was in Whitest Kids You Know.
Which, we love Barbarian.
And we love Whitest Kids You Know.
Now you fucked up! You have fucked up now!
Listen to the man, John!
Listen to the woman, John! That's listen right. to the woman!
Calm down!
This manic episode brought to you by caffeine and not taking our medication.
The Transporter with...
Oh, Jason Statham. I've always looked like I was 45.
So you think that. I think he looked fairly young at this point, and I understand someone looking at him and being like, oh, he looks like a tough.
Do you know, I've never found him attractive?
That's weird. He's got a real weird, like, jacked up kickball face that you should find attractive.
I should find him attractive. I really liked him in that movie Spy with Melissa McCarthy, because he does like a comedy thing in it. It's very good.
You know, I always wanted to watch this movie, The Transporter, and I never did, and I feel like that's a John Beard movie.
That is a John Beard ever movie. Seen John, one. Invite us over to watch this movie to your house.
And then last trailer, but not least trailer,
yes,
featuring the girl who played Anna on The OC.
For like three episodes.
A movie, they bring her back.
Okay.
A movie called Dark Wolf.
Sure.
Where it's like a cop teams up with a werewolf, mm-hmm. or a lady cop, who needs to kill a werewolf. Wolf cop, good movie.
Good movie.
What is Better it, movie. Liquor and Donuts? That's like the place they go to in that. I think it's a Canadian movie.
Yeah, it is.
And there's
Canadian.
Like a place that he goes to called Liquor and Donuts, and I'm like, brilliant.
We need to rewatch that. John, double movie feature, The Transporter and Wolf Cop.
And I think they made a sequel called like Another Wolf Cop.
Yeah, we'll probably be fine.
Yeah, so that looked like a stay tuned.
Yes. But this movie, Dark Wolf or whatever it's called, like, I have no recollection of this movie. Like, it must have been like straight to DVD.
Yeah, but
there
are like hundreds of those type of movies.
Yeah, but I feel like it would have like at least like hit my brain cells at some point. You know what I mean? Like, even
surprised.
Just through like memes nowadays or like accounts, like, just no, I know nothing about this movie.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing, right? That was sort of, we started to proliferate, like, garbage movies, or, like, mm-hmm. people could make, like, movies on the cheap, and now it's just, like, places like Tubi, who we love dearly, are inundated with yes. stuff that I'm like, excuse me? What now?
Well, Tubi, shout out to Tubi, sponsor us, is the best ever, and I thought actually Swim Fan was on Tubi for a while. We did end up watching this on VHS, obviously.
Have physical media. They will take away your ability to
but
have...
But Tubi usually has the shit. I wouldn't doubt if they don't have, like,
I just
Dark
read a
Wolf
thing today
whatever.
That I was telling you that, like, oh, HBO yeah. is going to start password protection. You can't share passwords. So, yeah, that's
Eat
why you own something.
Eat my fucking asshole, you bitches.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. Like, are you kidding me? Like, piracy has existed forever. So, if you don't think people are going to get around this, they are.
If Obama really loved us, he would have drone-struck password protection stuff.
Exactly. Get on it, Obama.
Because he's secretly running the country.
Yeah.
But Biden's also running the country.
But Trump is president. So.
You got it?
Hey, you know.
All right. So we start the movie and we get the intro.
I'm just making out. Okay, sorry.
It's like cello music. That's how you're good. You're a regular guy from Police Academy. You know that?
I played the saxophone. What do you want from me?
You're Lisa Simpson. So,
I did have braces. End of a vegetarian.
Dental plan. We get the Times New Roman text, and we get what this movie is, which is dark Lifetime movie.
It's got a blue filter
intro
over
vibes.
It. This is very much in the vein of a Lifetime movie.
We see two people kissing.
Ben and Amy.
And a mysterious car drives by.
It was an old school Jaguar, yeah.
With a new visitor to this town. Who is it? What will happen?
Also, they're making out like hardcore, like basically like, bumping uglies on the side of the road where like anyone can see
a cop
them.
Would show up. Yeah, they love doing that.
I don't understand. Anyways, go on.
And we get competitive high school swimming, because competitive high school swimming. There's just a lot of media, I feel like, where people were like, I'm a competitive swimmer.
My friends dated swimmers in high school, and I went to like one swim meet. It was fine.
Isn't there a famous Lifetime movie where he's addicted to porn and he's a competitive swimmer for high school?
Oh,
and
then there's it's like My Son's Dark Secret, or yeah, my Dark Web Secret, yeah, My Secret Web Life. It's something somebody,
Madam Web, yeah.
Yeah, Madam Web.
And I think the end has a religious baptism scene of him falling in the water.
Well, that's the thing. That might actually be more of a Hallmark movie, because Hallmark really loved laying in on the Jesus and, like, morality. Lifetime was like, you're horny and you want murder.
I think that it was a Lifetime one, though.
I don't know. It might have been early Lifetime, where they still had, like, morality to them, and now that's there's, true. Like, Stalked by My Doctor, where you put a man in acid.
Hell yeah, Pam.
You pay no repercussions.
Yeah, and we loved that swimming thing. There's a swim meet. And Jesse Bradford, who is Ben, we meet him.
Ben.
He's a cool, regular guy.
He does have a sick-ass Ford Bronco in this one. It's like the silver with like the red detail. Oh.
And we have like a quick scene, and this is not elaborated on enough, but he drives by and a cop kind of gives him a dirty look when he's driving to the swim meet.
But not even enough for you to like really know what's going on.
Right. And he could just be a young teenager, person, so yeah. A cop hates him, or he could be a minority, so a cop hates him,
like,
or he could be like not a Klansman, so a cop hates him.
Like, I could write this scene better in one way. The cop could just like sit next to him, turn to him, and be like, Ben, and he could just be like, officer, and like you would know that they know each other, but they're uncomfortable.
Sure.
Like, then that would insinuate that he knows him on a personal level because he's a bad kid.
We, of course, later on have him give exposition to Madison. He's like, I used to be a bad kid. And it's like, okay.
Whatever, bro.
Which kind of comes to nothing. Like, there needs
spoilers,
to be,
it's nothing.
There needs to be more of that if what happens later is to be believed.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, Dan Hedaya coaches
me, Ben, Dan Hedaya.
And he's like, scouts are coming, Ben. I hope something won't happen that will interfere with your long-term goals of swimming professionally.
Also, this movie is supposed to take place over a week.
Yeah.
Because
he tells
Dan Hedaya is like, oh, the fucking Stanford scouts are coming to watch you, Ben, in a week. You better not fuck it up. Or it might be 8 days, so.
Dan Hedaya is in a different movie in this.
Dan Hedaya is like,
He's all wall-eyed and yes. He looks really intense and everything. He's like, they found anabolic steroids in your fucking blood.
But he's also only ever in the pool scenes, and I wonder if Dan Hedaya shot all of his scenes in one day.
100%.
Like, I am not leaving this pool. You better fucking film everything here.
He's like, so what you want me to act like is a on-the-edge forensics professional.
Got it.
And they're like, no, you're a swim coach. He's like, got it.
So I'm gonna
the bodies were found with so many holes in them.
I'm still gonna keep smoking these cigars under the table.
He's just ashing into the pool.
Dan Hedaya looks like a man that smokes a lot of cigars.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not hating.
Anyway, so
Dan Hedaya, hit us up.
Sheree Appleby, Amy, who was in Roswell, a show I never watched, and that's Ben's girlfriend.
She's
Jason
so
Ritter,
cute in this.
His friend that comes to nothing
with
and
unfortunate facial hair.
Yeah.
It's
and
not great.
His token black friend Renee, who gets maybe two lines. And then his friend, the
Josh.
Guy slumming it as Chris Pratt, Josh. Yeah.
Yes.
And then there's a brief scene where we see the guy from Cabin Fever as Dante. He is the nerd.
He's like a freak.
Air quotes.
They call him like a freak. Right
yeah.
There.
I think he's supposed to be handicapped.
They give him basically like a mullet, but not a mullet. It's got like a cowlick in
he
the
has
front,
a mullet. He
and
has glasses.
Double hearing aids. He has like your glasses, but like uncool version of them. Do you know what I mean? Like they're too
I
big.
I like to believe all of my glasses are uncool, honey.
You know what I mean. And he's like supposed to be odd. So I don't know if they're coding him as differently abled in the brain or if he's supposed to be like a psycho.
In the 2000s, those are the same.
Yeah. Yet again, another great mental health portrayal in this movie.
It seems like we're just racking them up. Ben hotwires the locker of Madison. He's like, this locker, I'm going to break into it for you.
He picks it with her hairpin.
He hotwires
which,
it.
Do you know how many times I've tried to pick things with a hairpin? Because I'm a girl. I have thousands of them. Do you know how many times it's worked? Zero. Do you know why? Because that is a fucking lie. I hate that trope.
You just didn't watch Ocean's 11 enough.
Yeah.
Or Thief.
Note to self, watch more Thief.
Yeah, so he runs into Madison. She's like, I can't get into my lock. And he's like, oh, I'll hotwire this for you. And we're just kind of getting an idea of his day. So then after he hotwires the locker, he goes to work as a junior nurse.
He is very much flirting with her in that scene.
Yeah, 100%. And he's you know, a baby nurse, and there's a grampy.
I think he's like a candy striper.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So and the grampy's like, when are you gonna get me a horse? Like, after
I was
Korea.
In real movies, like Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation.
And he's like, look, you got to take your pills, but also here's nudie playing cards.
It's cute, though. I do like their little dynamic. It shows that he's like a good guy.
Look, I got you those Playboy glasses, and when you fill them with ice, the lady's clothes come off. Look, I got you one of those pens, and when you turn it upside down, she's naked.
I really want one of those pens.
All right, we'll find one. Any flea market we go to, it has like a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, but it might be racist.
Or Nazis. Usually they're not. I mean, there will be racists and Nazis there. Yeah, you're going to a flea market in New Jersey. And we have a conversation scene where Amy is talking to Ben, and she works at pretty much like a Bennigan's, like a seafood Bennigan's.
No, it's nicer than a Bennigan's.
Okay, it's a crab
like
shack.
A Red Lobster.
She works at the Krabby
Patty. It's like a Joe's Crab Shack, hon.
Yes.
Peace-loving crabs.
The one by us is mercifully closed and is now a great site for graffiti.
Yes.
But Ben is clearly having a pre-quarter life crisis.
Yeah.
That's like kind of what we're doing. We literally took the plot of a movie that would be about a 50-year-old man or a 40-year-old man.
This is Fatal Attraction, dude.
Yeah, it's 100%. And then we just extrapolated it to that age. Take that shit!
I read something briefly, because I didn't read a whole lot about this movie. Spoilers. But basically, the production company that put out this movie is owned by Michael Douglas. So I feel like he knew what he was doing. He was like, how do I bring in more Fatal Attraction money?
I mean, other than some setting changes...
Same thing.
Like, he is... What is he? He's either 17 or 18.
Yeah. But we also don't have any...
how soon can I start feeling bad about the curse of monogamy?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you were desperately in love with somebody in high school, so you never would have cheated on them, and I didn't have boyfriends until I was old.
It was at the end of high school, but yeah.
But, like, kids that are, like, obsessed with monogamy in high school, I'm like, is that a real thing? Like, are people, like, that distraught? I don't know, like...
Yeah, I don't know. Your hormones are raging, you're completely off-kilter.
Like, if I was, like, a hot dude with, like, a great swimming body and, like, could do whatever the fuck I want, like, I'd be banging chicks everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the problem is that very young people who don't necessarily know what to do have all of these responsibilities and ideologies thrust at them without the proper preparation for it.
Yeah.
Speaks to our schooling system.
Yes. Anyways.
Farts! Dare fart. Somebody mentioned the film Dare Fan, so I told Sarah Dare Fart, and she thought that was probably the funniest thing I've said in recent history.
Dare Fart.
So yeah, we find out essentially that Madison is the new girl in school. She's a little hottie. Value Chris Pratt wants to fuck her, and we find out that Dante, the paint-stained overalls, cabin fever guy, is her cousin.
Yes.
Then Ben almost hits on Madison with his car.
Ayo!
Because cars are like dicks.
Cars are dicks.
That's why you put ball sacks on the back of your car.
Yeah, truck nuts, baby.
And he gives her a ride. Heyo!
Yeah, he gives her a ride.
Madison left her music book in his car.
I will bring this up, and I get that this movie is stupid because it's called Swim Fan and it's about horny kids. But, like, her whole cello thing is so oddly, like, specific that they give her this, like, activity that she's supposedly so into, but it really has no consequence. Like, she could just be, like, a cello or, like, a flutist or, like, it doesn't matter.
If I were to make a Charlie Kelly yarn graph.
Okay. Pepe Sylvia graph. Yep.
I would say that what they're trying to say is she's a music kid, so she's tangentially related to theater kids, so she's insane because she's not a jock, popular person. She has that hobby.
I don't know. It's a
weird
choice.
What they're doing is
she's supposed to be,
I believe, wealthy, right?
Well, yeah, because she lives in like a mansion with like her cousin, and they live in North Jersey, and that's money, baby.
Anyway, yeah, she left her music book, and he's looking through the music book. He's looking at these music notes,
and
I'm like...
The first of many times where Ben does not fucking notice anything in his car, or anything around him in his surroundings. This boy is fucking, like, peripherally blind or something.
Yeah, he finds the book, he's going through it, and I also am like, can you read music? Is there a cutscene?
But then he sees the initials that say BC, which is Big Chunkies.
I was gonna say,
Or Ben Cronin.
Let's see, Before Christ... That could mean bacon cheddar. Maybe she was thinking about a Wendy's item. Sure. Ben brings the notebook back, and Dante is there. And, okay, we got to talk about the facial expressions this guy is doing. Because he's, again, maybe he's differently abled.
I don't know.
Maybe he's just a social outcast. What I can tell you
maybe
is...
maybe it's poor writing in the early 2000s?
The facial expressions he's making are very similar to the ones that are made in the Jizzed in My Pants music video by The Lonely Island. Am I wrong?
No. And did I pretend to jerk myself off every time he showed up on screen?
Yeah, and you grabbed my hand and pulled it to your crotch like I was going to jerk you off.
I made you touch it.
You did. You did indeed.
You liked it. Der fart.
Yeah, there's that one Andy Samberg face that he makes where he's like puckering his face in.
Yeah.
And that is 100% what this guy's doing. He almost
looks like Officer Doofy.
Yeah, that's it. That's what he's doing. Yeah. He is Officer Doofy in a serious situation.
Yes.
Young Officer Doofy. Officer Doofy
duty.
Begins. Ooh, you're canceled, baby.
Hey,
that's a
I'm neurospicy. Okay. I was in the special classroom as a kid, so whatever.
No, you're like a neuro reaper pepper. we're on Neuro Hot Ones. and yeah, Madison is like, I'm so horny for food. So they get food. And here's the thing.
I mean, they are in Jersey. A good diner
they
burger.
They go to a nice diner. It they is get a good some diner. Tasty fries, probably double fried fries.
So we're going to talk about that scene because I looked up after this movie over. I'm just telling everybody about this.
I know. They want to hear it.
I'm not going to tell them about the website because I don't know if my search history should have this. But like, so I was trying to find if there's deleted scenes to this movie. Like I typed in swim fan, deleted scenes, question mark, you know? And I got to this website that's like a foot fetish website. And I think it's like fascinated by feet or fancied the feet. I don't know. It's something
I
about
I can't
feet.
Believe that there would be a website about feet.
But it is like early 2000s. So it's all just like...
really old.
Really old. Yeah. Like, you know, there's no graphics. It's all like old HTML code stuff. And these people are talking about an interview Erica Christensen gave when they were filming this scene. She basically was playing footsie with Jesse Bradford to like rile him up, and like the dudes in this chat were just like, oh they're so hot.
There's gotta be footage of the footsie.
So if you ever watch this movie, just know they're actually playing footsie.
Yeah.
So if you have a foot thing, Quentin Tarantino,
well, here's
watch this.
Here is, yeah, Tarantino would love that.
I know.
Love swim fan. Love
swim fan.
This is the scene where he pretty much goes, I used to be a bad kid.
Yeah.
And now I'm a good kid.
Well, he was like addicted to drugs and then he started stealing and then he went to juvie for 6 months.
Yeah. Sure.
And then, but at juvie, he had to clean a pool, but he ended up swimming in the pool and blah, 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 blah. And that's why he's a swim fan.
Well, he is a swimmer. And
yeah,
she
but
is.
He's also a fan of swimming. So he's a swim fan.
Well, okay.
They're both the swim fan.
Whoa.
Do you understand how that works?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Get this in the Criterion closet.
it's me, Paul Giamatti, with my favorite movie, Swim Fan.
Oh, Giamatti, I love this film. The footsie scene that they cut. yeah, he spends this whole time... This character sucks because he's like, I shouldn't. Oh, no, I really shouldn't. I should. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no, I really shouldn't. Now we're at the pool. Oh, no, no, no. You're down to your underwear.
That's the
oh,
thing.
No, I shouldn't.
When you're watching this as an adult, like as a teen, you're like, oh, yeah, he's just whatever. This bitch is going to go fucking ape shit and go crazy.
This bitch is going to go ape shit. I am a feminist. We're going to.
Okay.
We're going to do some editing in audio.
Here on International Women's Day, I only talk about feminist.
She only talks about a bitch going apeshit on International Women's Day.
No, but you watch this and you're like, bro, you're just as guilty as like she fucking is. Actually, she's less guilty because she doesn't have a fucking boyfriend or whatever. And she's new in this town and you are definitely hitting on her.
Well, I guess we're into the synopsis now. So this begs to be said. These movies, Indecent Proposal... and
Fatal Attraction.
Fatal Attraction. I always want to see Indecent Proposal.
I don't know.
That's got Demi Moore. That's the one where with Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore.
I've never seen it. Don't want to fuck him.
Fatal Attraction. And what's the one? There's another one with Demi Moore and Michael Douglas where she also is it Disclosure? Where she's pretty much blackmailing him. And she's his boss or something like that.
Yes, I think it's Disclosure. I think he's being like sexually harassed by her.
The problem with these movies is they always...
paint women poorly?
Yeah, they paint women as like deranged psychopaths that want to fuck and are instantly obsessed with you. And don't you dare move away from the path of righteousness and goodness. Because if you get horny and you fucking a woman, they're always horny.
They're always
so
horny.
It's like those women. The idea that a woman being horny immediately correlates to insanity.
Well, that's the thing. They're crazy horny.
Right.
So.
Not great. Not a great history of movies, and this movie Definitely follows in those footsteps. Yeah, if you watch this,
there's definitely some problems.
So yeah, they go to the pool. She's down to her underwear. This part, this is, I think, the first time that this is shot like an indie. And there's like these weird quick cuts that are going
on. Also, in this part, we get important information. She doesn't know how to swim.
Yes.
Yes. Which I thought was a lie, but
I thought it was a lie too. But we find that out in the third act. It wasn't a lie.
It wasn't a lie.
The issue with trying to shoot this in an artistic way is it's really flat and
digital
looking.
Is that
a
swim fan?
And, yeah. Oh, my favorite part. It's the pool scene so tinged with eroticism. So can this will have to go into my bag.
I tell you, though, this scene, I remember seeing all the trailers for it and stuff like that. And it was like, oh. And then when I finally rented it, I was like, oh. It is a pretty horny scene. As an adult, I cannot because, yet again, the child sex thing is not for
They're
me.
They're like 20-year-olds.
Yeah, but still weird.
They're
raw dogging in that pool. And all I can think about, too, is she is going to get some sort of yeast infection or a UTI from having sex in a pool. Okay?
It's a pretty...
A public pool?
It's a pretty steamy scene. And I'm not talking about the temperature of the water, ladies and gents. Also, yeah, she's not using a condom. Whoa. And, yeah, she's making some Panera Bread bowls down there.
Hey-o!
And she's like, tell me you love me. You don't have to mean it. No.
I have never... No.
You don't...
No,
you don't... No, you say no,
If Ben. I did that, like, when we first met, would you have said it? If I was like, Ben, I will ride you so hard, just tell me you love me.
Oh.
Oh my god, your name's Ben! Would you?
Wow, what a connection. No, I wouldn't.
Damn.
What
about now?
And she... Well, I've already been entrapped at this point. And she immediately, her gack is coming out of him, and she's literally like, you don't have to tell no one. I'm just like one of the guys. Don't worry about it, bro. See you later. Can't wait to have brewskis with you.
I get that this movie is swim fam, but there's like a few things like this scene where it doesn't make sense. Like she's like clearly rational enough to be like, hey, we're just buds. And like, this is whatever.
I think the way it's supposed to be played, I think you're giving it too much credit.
I
think it's supposed to be, she is insidious and pretty much like, oh, we're just friends, but I'm too psycho.
But, like, the insidious thing doesn't make sense with the crazy thing. You're either insidious or crazy.
A woman is both.
Oh, interesting.
As
diversity. That's how
we write. As I've said on Sale of Satan, when you sprung from my McRib, it was an imperfect creation.
I've never had a McRib.
You're probably fine.
I'm probably fine.
Yeah. I love the idea of you're like, I'm breaking veganism for the McRib.
No, I've told you. I would only break veganism if I could get a delicious Italian sub. It would have to be like the most fucking perfect Italian sub, and I would eat that whole fucking thing.
I do love an Italian sub.
That's what I'm saying.
I haven't had one in forever. Anyway, yeah. The next morning...
Kettle chips on the side?
They fuck. Oh, yeah. A pickle.
A nice pickle. Like one of those pickle. Real good pickles. Yeah.
The next day he wakes up and we get a bunch of like gotcha scenes where
his girlfriend Amy's like,
you are so busted.
And he's like,
but she's just mad he didn't come by and she loves him.
I feel really bad for her. She's like a nice girl.
And he isn't focusing during the swim meet that day. He's too fucking horny.
He's like, this is when we start getting those really fun cuts in this movie where it's like, shah, bashah, shah, shah.
Yeah, it keeps cutting to him when he was raw dogging.
Raw dogging that hog.
We cut to a high school party, TM, where Josh...
Well, it's Amy's parents, because this is like a blink and you'll miss a thing. Amy's parents
went
to
Jamaica.
They went to Jamaica for the week.
Everyone's
so
rich. Or the economy was better.
It's also North Jersey, so you're not doing bad. But also, I don't think Jamaica cost a lot of money in the early 2000s. I really feel like it's...
We'll have to look at the Frommers and
yes,
stuff,
we'll look.
You know?
Someone do the research. But also, you know, it's supposed to be like, oh, she's having a party. It's fun. She's inviting everybody from school.
Yeah.
Because you need a party scene. That's like one thing that all these movies have. There's always a party scene. And it's never like an intimate friend party. It's always a big party.
It has to be a big party. The thing is, we have his friends are also noticing that he's not as twit at his swimming.
Yeah.
And Josh is pretty much like, I might be head honcho soon. But we're going to find out what happens there. Amy, I think, is supposed to be acting drunk.
Oh, I thought she was just supposed to be
she's
like...
She's just happy.
She's just happy. Like, she's like...
Women happy, women drunk. It's the same circle on the Venn diagram.
Exactly.
And Amy introduces Ben to Madison. But they've met already. Oh, my God.
And she's like, oh, I'm Madison Bale.
Oh. I've been struck with consumption. He starts spraying blood all over him. Well, I forgot about this. There was a scene out the day after he fucked her where he goes up to his locker and there are little flowers in his locker.
Oh, they're chamomile flowers.
Yes, and he's like, oh, these are from my girlfriend Amy. They're not. No. She did give him a card that says she loves him.
She's like, Ben, I love you so much.
But she did not give him the flowers. Madison, it turns out, gave him the flowers because they are in her hair.
Yes.
And Madison starts fucking around with Ben. This is when she starts getting crazy.
She's like, is it hot in here or is it just me? And I was like, that's a funny line, right? And she was serious about it.
And she's like, oh, I think I weft my soggy pussy panties in your car.
Yet again, another instant, and they like shoot to like her panties, like kind of smushed into the seat of like Ben's car, but not really.
The front seat.
They're like peach one pink.
Either the front or passenger seat.
Yes, because he has like a bench seat, so it's like, you know, the far end of the bench seat. But I'm like, Ben, do you not have peripheral vision? How are you not seeing these, my fucking dude?
And then it's like...
But his girlfriend was going to go move his truck, so he has to run out there.
He intercepts her. This dude is not doing well, and where's Waldo?
No.
He's not finding Waldo. He's definitely not finding the wizard Whitebeard, or Ever Waldo, or the dog. Mm. Or remember the scrolls? They were like little scrolls you had to find. Those were fucking impossible.
I loved Where's Waldo.
Ugh. Where's Waldo goes to Hollywood fucking rules.
Send us Where's Waldo books. Thank you.
I think I might have them.
Really?
Maybe. We cut to not AIM.
Yes.
Exchange.
It's like a weird faux. Maybe it's MS Messenger.
Now, for you young people, AIM AOL Messenger was a way of communicating back when the internet was cool. And you had to have a screen name. And guess what Madison's screen name is?
SwimFan.
And that's 85. Where it comes from. It doesn't come because they're both fans of swimming.
Oh, I'm sorry, but what would you call them? I'm a fan of swimming, so I'm a swim fan. Okay?
Hi, I'm David Lynch. Oh, I'm in the Criterion Closet. Oh, swim fan. There is a multifaceted title to this.
You know what? If David Lynch saw the movie Swim Fan, I think he'd like it.
Oh, what do we have over here? Dude, where's my car?
No, that one's too homophobic for David.
That's true. He seems like a well-rounded dude overall.
You can't be that weird and not be well-rounded.
Anyway, yeah, she's pretty much messaging him, and he's blowing her off. And then we cut back to Hidea.
She wants to blow him off, though. Ayo.
She does. And Hidea is again slumming it and being like...
He's like, Ben, you ain't swimming
good. You're fucking up. Your breaststroke is being superseded by your love of breasts.
Did you work on that joke? Were you workshopping that?
No, I don't even have that written. That was
instant. Yeah.
You could say I'm the Jackie Mason of Central New Jersey. Maybe a little less Jewish, if that's such a thing as possible.
If that's possible, yeah.
Madison pages him while he's talking to Dan Hidea.
Do you know, I don't understand how pages work.
It was pretty much you could send a very limited amount of characters.
How?
It was like numbers correlating.
Was it like T9 kind of thing?
Yeah,
it was like okay.
T9.
Okay.
But you could only send a very small message, and the main goal was to be, like, it was pretty useful if you were, say, like a doctor or somebody who was on call.
Good thing we don't know any of those.
Yeah.
No, but I remember pagers were always like in the 90s supposed to be like just for drug dealers, and I'm like, could you imagine like paging a drug dealer? Like, you're like paging Dr. Weed.
Jesus Christ, Dr. Weed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Meth.
Anyway, now we have Ben coming home.
Yes.
And by the way, this is all happening in rapid succession.
Yet again with these movies, there's just a lot happening, people.
The acceleration from
super linear.
We are fucking around to I am opening porcelain dolls and putting love notes to you in their heads and then sending them to you and they're connected to bombs is like milliseconds apart.
What's that from?
I just made that up.
Oh, I feel like that's from something.
That would be like something in Seven. Or, I mean, maybe I was referring to that part in Haunt where she opens the doll's face.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of, yes.
Anyway.
Better movie.
So, Ben comes home, and Ben's mom is home with Madison, and they're going through photo albums, and Ben's mom doesn't go like, well, you're not his girlfriend. Instead, just going through photo albums together.
I'm sorry, like, one, I have a horrible mother, but two, she never would have just allowed a fucking strange bitch, or like, in my case, a dude, be like, yeah, hi.
Yeah, but she's polite.
I guess, but we're from fucking Jersey. I'm not gonna like.
The fuck you doing in my house?
Would your mother allow a fucking strange girl in your house when you were in high school? Would she?
You brought some pork roll. All right, come in.
Yes, I'm sure your Jewish parents eat pork.
My parents don't let anyone in the haunted castle.
For good reason.
It's haunted. We have them confronting each other. He's like, Mom, get out of the room. I'm going to yell at this broad. And she goes, what are you saying? That making love to me was a mistake? And we get the psychopath screech sound effect. It's not that one. It's like, and she is nuts, baby. That's the part where you're supposed to know she is fucking Cocoa Puffs.
Yes. Maybe she's crazy for that dick, though. Maybe and she's dick crazy.
She's just so upset. Women get so obsessed, you know?
Yeah, I'm so obsessed with you.
I mean, yeah. Men sometimes get obsessed with women, but then that ends because they are killed. You know? So the cycle is broken.
I've completed the mission. There's...
Now I can do whatever the dog tells me to do next.
Exactly.
And he's
Why Sarah, calzone?
You hate calzones.
I know, but this dog doesn't know that.
I mean, if he knows your deepest desires, he should.
Buy her a vegan Italian sub.
Oh, a Grindcore House sandwich.
Sponsor us, Grindcore House.
Please. Or just give me sandwiches. I can be pinned sandwiches.
He confronts her again. This is like, again, this won't be the last time.
No.
And goes,
or the second
to You're last not going to tell anybody that I fucked around with you. Which is, again, if you really think about this element, it's him being like, shut your fucking mouth. Don't ruin my life.
He gets pretty intense. Like, I get that she's gone cuckoo bananas, but also, like, he gets, like, a little too physical for my comfort.
Well, she goes, no, I won't tell anybody. And she's, like, licking her lips. Evilly. And he's at the library at school, studying or something, and he pulls
studying
up
stuff.
Not AIM, and she has sent him 1,000 naked pictures.
Oh, no.
That one looks really fake.
I think you said this, like, that was also in the trailer. It was, like, her sending, like, the naked photo, but I think it was just because, like, the GIF or whatever, like, how many pixels is that? Come on.
That's, like, a JPEG, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a ping. And his girlfriend almost sees it. Amy almost sees it, but
she doesn't
know.
They're like, "Hey, I gotcha."
She has no peripheral vision either.
Everyone here is fucking like no peripheral vision.
The astigmatism in this school is through the roof. Turns out there's like lead in the pipes or something. It's ruining everybody's eyesight. There is this real fucked up scene. I think this is it, where she's like, "You've been kind of distant," and then she essentially goes like, whatever you want, I'm gonna do. Well, my existence is tied to you. I need you. All women need you, Ben.
Here's a message for all women, or just people in general, mostly women. Do not, because like there's like a scene earlier where she's like, oh, I can switch what college I go to, because he was going to go to Stanford for swimming, which is in California, obviously, and she was going to go somewhere in Rhode Island for, I don't know, thin white woman things. And she's like, oh, like I could switch it though, and I could live in California with you, and we could do this together, and blah, 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 blah. And she's like moving her whole fucking life for this dude. No one should do that. I get that. Like, if you're in a relationship that is serious,
dude, just get off his fucking back.
You need to make plans together. But like, if you're a girl in high school or even college, do not set your whole life around some fucking dickhead boy. Like, no.
But if you do, you better have 2 cold ones, and you better be wearing that lingerie.
Yes, thank you.
We find out that Madison is now with his friend Josh, and she's like,
kind of hotter.
She's like, when I'm with him, I pretend it's you. And again, he's like, I'm trying to drop you. You're a crazy woman. And she goes like, you told me you love me. And he's like, you told me to say that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my guy, you said it.
Yeah. That's like the thing is, she's like, but I love you. And I'm like, this is all set in a week. How, like, how did she, like, I know that Josh wanted to fuck her, but like, they seem to be like dating. And I'm just like, it has been 38 hours since you've gotten into this town.
I mean, when you're younger, days were longer, you know?
Yes. Yes. Good.
There's also more crazy woman screechy sounds, sound effects here.
More like cutaway scene stuff.
Mm-hmm. And now she's at the hospital dressed as, she's like dressed as an old lady.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, come on, Ben. I need help. My last wish is you raw dog me.
Yeah.
Before they put me on dialysis.
That didn't happen. Spoilers.
She's like, I want you to fuck me and I'll give you a check for $7.
Cool, grandma.
One of those strawberry candies with the goo in it.
Ooh.
Anyway, Ben is at the hospital as well.
And remember, he has a job.
Yes. His candy striping job, and he is being mean to old Pep Pep.
I know, that's so mean. And I didn't like it.
She swapped the drugs old Pep Pep's supposed to get.
How?
Through evil woman magic.
I like this movie, too, because it, like, presupposes that this chick is, one, really great at stalking, and two, great at disguises, three, great sneaking around. Like, she would have to be so quick. She is Fred Flintstoning this shit. Like, she has to be in, like, three places at once.
Everybody knows that, there's really high security in hospitals, but what my book Swim Fan presupposes is, what if there isn't?
There isn't. Spoilers.
He gets... No, when you were getting your surgery done, I walked in my scrubs, and they just let me up in that elevator.
Heyo!
He gets fired.
Because he almost murdered somebody.
And his mom works there as well. Yeah, so I guess she's like a nurse. She's disappointed in him, too. And now he hunts her down in the school and he's openly choking her.
Dude, he fucking chokes this bitch out. It is not cool.
And I would have been shocked if she didn't say something like, I didn't know you like it rough.
She did say that.
She does. Yes. I know. I would have been shocked.
Oh, I get it. But because she said it, you're not shocked.
And he's pretty much choking her, and he's like, that's correct, thank you. And he's like, you better fucking leave me alone. And then at the end, he's like, good girl.
Yeah, that's like the thing about this movie, too, is like, there's times where he's like, I fucking hate you, dumb whore! Bah! And he's like, good girl. And I'm like, okay, well, that's just mixed messages now.
And at this point, he is trying to race the clock before her.
Yes.
To tell Amy that he fucked around.
Yes.
Which is not really well telegraphed.
No.
But this was the part where I was cackling because I kept imagining her being like, are you going to see Amy? The lobster special is going to be explosive tonight. And it cuts to a guy in a mascot costume dressed like a lobster. He's like, come try the lobster special. But he's full of dynamite and he blows up the whole place.
Yes.
But that doesn't happen. Instead, he doesn't go see Amy on time, and Amy knows the next day that he cheated on her.
Yes.
Which is so evil to be discovered to have done the bad thing that you did.
Yes.
She found out the truth.
Yes.
And that's evil.
Yes.
Got it.
Do you think he would have told Amy?
Not if he could help it. That's what we sort of find out about his character.
So, is he really that good of a guy?
No, he's terrible.
Yeah.
That's exactly why it's a bad movie.
Yes.
We get the swim meet. And they all have to pee-pee in the containers. Yep. No, no, his pee-pee's full of steroids.
Oh, no, but what about the big swim meet where the Crawford, Stanford guys are there to see if he's good?
The Crawfish University people are here?
Crawfish University.
Oh, he does a good breaststroke, mon ami. As good as my mama's etouffee.
He swims the gumbo like no water.
It's a pool full of gumbo. That's why they're such good swimmers, because it's much more dense than water.
Yeah, exactly.
So if they can swim through gumbo.
And all the protein.
Yeah, they're eating it as they're swimming. Ugh, imagine, like, eating gumbo that you're swimming in. It's, like, your juice and the gumbo.
Ugh.
Unless you, like, rolled yourself in garlic and stuff like that.
Ooh.
You know, like, you kind of marinate yourself.
Like a garlic butter, like, rub?
I mean, you're still, like, your naked body is still
dispensing. Yeah, but, like, if you're really clean.
Sebaceous fluids and stuff.
Yeah, sebaceous fluids.
Nowadays, it would be like, oh, you're on steroids? Yeah, join the club.
Yeah.
Now it would be like, oh, no.
Did they test for steroids in high school?
It's just for clean eating reasons that he has a 12-pack.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if you're going into a university, maybe.
I feel like they didn't check.
Yeah, and like, again, things are reaching this fever pitch of insanity. She's, like, cutting the brakes on the locomotive that his grandma's on.
Yeah.
And this is the part where we bring back the whole, like, oh, he got caught, he didn't have the right pills, and he killed the grampy. Oh, he's got almost steroids. Right. He used to be a bad kid. Here comes that plot point again.
Yeah.
And now everyone's...
again.
Yeah, now his mom's like, are you being a bad kid again? And you're like, this needs to be more of a through line.
Yeah.
Even have his friends, who have no role in the movie, say something about that.
Yeah, but that would give his friends lines.
Amy is like...
She's full of balloons.
Balloons?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
What?
You just wanted to say something.
Right. No, I misspoke. Madison is making out with Josh, and she calls him Ben.
As I do every day.
And he's like, oh, I completely figured out the plot of the movie. That's literally what he's like.
See, here's the key. Like I said, when you date dudes all with the same name, you can think about a different Ben, and it doesn't have to be the Ben that you're with.
So when you're with Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Or with Affleck.
Oh, hi, Ben Affleck.
Or you're with
Stiller.
Dearly Departed.
Because I do like a Jew.
Ben Tramer.
Aw, R.I.P.D. Ben Tramer.
Or Uncle Ben. Both the one that is killed when he does it, when Peter.
I thought you were talking about the guy on the rice package.
And the rice package.
I want that one. The rice, like, inheritance. Do you know how much money?
The rice inheritance. Ah, my rice dowry.
Oh, you wouldn't want a rice dowry?
Josh pretty much goes, I read the plot of Swim Fan. I realize what you're doing to Ben. And he tries to leave. And then we have, like, French pop music playing. It's like a Euro horror scene where, where it keeps flashing her and she's going fully crazy nuts.
She's like, Josh, get back here. Don't you fucking walk away from me.
That's right.
Which is also from the trailer.
And she killed Josh.
And she fucking killed him. She literally kills a person.
She, I guess, cracks his head this open.
I love this movie. Yes, yet again, because Ben goes to the locker room to like clean out his swim locker and he finds a baseball bat. And in previous scenes, Josh is using it to like stretch out his shoulders and stuff like that.
And he touches the baseball bat because you touch everything you see.
Yes. Also, I said this yesterday. I'm going to say it again. You're not getting fucking latent print off of a wood baseball bat. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, the reason why he touches it is because his vision's so bad because of the lead in the pipes.
Well, yeah. And then so he's like, oh, I'm already here in the locker room. I miss swimming. I'm going to go swim. And he's like,
I'm not going to look at the pool.
Dude.
I'm going to jump right into the pool.
So he like jumps in the pool and without he's like, looking swimming, at it. Swimming, swimming. And then it's like a shot where he like literally fucking headbutts Josh's corpse in the pool. And there's just like fucking blood everywhere. And I'm like, Ben, your vision, Ben, you need to get this checked.
Also, he has like a slash across his head, which doesn't really fit in.
Well, I think it's supposed to imply that she smacked him with the baseball bat and like it split his skull.
I guess. It's
as somebody who's had their head split open, I think I'm an expert on this.
We know.
Okay, well, which one of us here had a head split open? Me, so I'm the expert.
We get introduced to a character that is introduced as quickly as he will be forgotten, Detective Nick Sandow.
Oh, yeah.
That's the name of the actor, and he pretty much is playing skeptical detective.
Yeah.
Because now...
Hey, yo, I'm a fucking New York detective.
Ben has had his prints found on this baseball bat, and
impossible.
Josh is dead in the pool. Now Ben is in danger of being convicted of murder.
Well, the detective, I guess, is the one that, like, locked up Ben previously for, like, the drugs and criminal activity. So he's like, hey, yo, Ben, I fucking got my eyes on you, dude. Ah.
Well, Nick Sandow's filmography, which I looked for, feels like, you know, eventually he was on Orange is the New Black from 2013 to 2019, and I feel like this guy needed a win.
Yeah.
Because other than that, I was just 90% of his filmography looks like someone like photoshopped the cheapest cover for one of these DVDs the day before it came out. We have Stella's Last Weekend, No Looking Back, I think less than one season run of that Clarice show.
Ugh.
Return to Paradise, On the Run, The Lovebirds, The Day Ponies Come Back.
Stop reading.
All right. And he's like, hey, Bob-o-be-bo-bow. I fold my pizza in half. I think you're a murderer.
Yeah. That was like verbatim.
So he has to do his own sleuthing now because
he's like,
cops,
yo, I didn't fucking do this shit. And me, a 17-year-old boy, knows more than this fucking cop.
He sneaks into Madison's house and he finds her nurse outfit and then obviously
which is hilarious.
The not seen scuba outfit that she used because she can't swim.
Yeah.
The prospector outfit.
Yep.
He finds the pills.
Yep.
He finds like the pitchfork that she used when she pretended to be the farmer to kill somebody.
Yep.
And then She finds
one of those little fezes next to the water buffalo hat because she is Fred Flintstoning it. So, you know, she's got to like get everywhere.
Bonnie, you told me you loved me when we made love. Fred, I thought you said you wanted me to say it.
Barney would say it. Barney's a cuck.
I love you, Fred.
Come on. Barney's getting cucked, right? Dino's banging out Betty and just like.
Dino?
It's raw dog.
What are you looking in the corner of the Pornhub?
This exists, I'm sure of it. Okay. Okay.
Fred, you're ruining my relationship with the girl at the crab shack.
And then the dildo's just that Bernie's like, it's a living.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of greasy anal beads. It's a living. Ooh, and then he finds her. Ha 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 It's the Sibian all greased up. It's a living.
Mr. Slate's in the corner jerking it.
Oh, no. Was he in the Jetsons, Mr. Spacely?
Yeah, Mr. Spacely. And in the live action movie, it's Kyle MacLachlan.
Oh, shit.
And Halle Berry.
As Mr.
Slate.
Slate, yeah.
Yeah,
that movie's fucking insane.
With John Goodman.
Eric rewatched that recently, and he talks about, like, there's all sorts of, like, financial duplicity going on in that Flintstones adaptation. Anyway, he finds her box.
Carfoot.
All her secret.
It's her psycho box.
Yeah, her psycho box. And she has composited Polaroid of, like, putting his arm around a tiny version of her.
It's not composited. She cut out a photo of herself and, like,
it's a rough taped compositing.
It on top of a photo existing of him.
She sweeted a composite.
It's,
Yeah, of course, she's got the crazy thing, right? And Dante shows up, and at this point, this character has stopped making the jizz in my pants faces. Like, he doesn't really do that. Yeah,
he got, like, less
mentally. He got tired of it, probably hurting his face. Yeah. And the book reveals that she picked off a star athlete, essentially.
Yeah. Well, because she's also got, like, her other stalker box for her previous boyfriend, where she was like, oh, I have a boyfriend in New York, but because we're away from each other, like...
But, and here's where the story is unclear.
What?
Yeah.
There's some questions in Swim Fan?
Bonnie, I got some questions about Swim Fan!
Not now, Fred!
It's the melon that he greased up with a hole in it.
It's a living. Oh, I thought the melon was going somewhere else.
Jesus. supposed to understand... Well, this is before,
you know, genetically modified fruits. The melon was actually a lot smaller.
That's true.
So...
Wow. You're really making me think here.
People fist all the time, so I'm thinking the watermelon's not that much of a stretch. Heyo!
Yabba dabba doo! The book is, and the information we get in these next scenes is supposed to tell us that she had a boyfriend she was obsessed with who played baseball.
Jake Donnelly.
And
Irish.
She truly loves him, Irish. I guess, but she's insane.
Well, that's
so when
the
he
thing.
Tried to get out of the relationship,
I don't think that's what that was.
No, because they say he lost control of his car, and he is now in a coma. All right, well, I'm jumping ahead.
Dante we should keep
gives
this straight.
Him a book, and that basically says that there was another star athlete that she was obsessed with. That star athlete's history takes him and Dante, who drives a sick-ass Mustang, at the time we didn't care about cool classic cars, to...
He had three.
A gothic...
He sold that...
His triples. And
it's triples of the Mustang.
And Madison Bell's beautiful.
But she's dying.
But she's gonna die.
And he does not live in a hotel.
We find out that this previous boyfriend is Jake Donnelly, who was a baseball player.
Harsh Ashar.
A true genius. And he is in a coma at this gothic Rosemary's Baby hospital
where
he is held.
That's in hospitals in this movie, like, they're very interesting hospitals.
And I guess all of his family brought his baseball trophies to his bedside so he can not see them in a coma.
Mean? Could you imagine waking up all cripply crapped out?
Cripply crapped, honey. On International Women's Day? Gee, Fred, on International Women's Day?
I'm talking about men. This is feminist. And, like, you just, like, wake up and your fucking dick and legs don't work, and it's, like, all your fucking baseball trophies of when you were great and had legs? What?
But I guess she is so, air quotes, nuts, that she is
nuts.
Stayed by his bedside, and she brought all his stuff, like a photo of them together and his varsity jacket or whatever. And, you know, I guess simultaneous to this happening,
she goes bananas.
Madison is now dressed like the Zodiac Killer when he's like trying to be incognito, and she's driving. She steals Ben's truck.
Yep.
And she hits Amy with a car.
Yes.
She hits her moped. Everyone loved mopeds.
Hell yeah. Yet again, in Cherry Falls too, they had mopeds, I'm pretty sure. And now in this movie, a fucking moped. Do you know how many people I knew that had mopeds? Zero. You know why? Because nobody fucking drove a moped.
But here's the thing. He's with Dante at this hospital when he gets the call Amy was
hit. It's as if he has a fucking alibi.
And he talked to the nurse lady.
Yes.
So he has a concrete alibi.
Yeah.
But he gets a call from his mom that's like, Amy's here. She got hit by a car. They think you hit her with a car. You're in trouble.
You're in twubbies.
And meanwhile, she again is switched into one of her many outfits. Yes. Now it's her doctor outfit.
It's her water buffalo hat.
Right. And she is... going into the hospital to, I guess, finish the job. Right. And I just kept imagining that she keeps getting waylaid because they're like, she's now in a Doogie Howser scenario where they all think that she's a female doctor. They keep pulling her in the rooms and they're like, a woman doctor, you're going to get your period and kill me.
The bears are going to smell it.
And then as she's, I guess, intending to finish off Amy.
Yeah, because she has a scalpel. Ben, would she have
a loaded scalpel?
A preloaded scalpel?
Where'd she get that?
I don't know. Would it be preloaded
She'd
like that, Ben?
She'd have to open a pack.
Yeah, or where'd she get those, Ben?
I guess maybe if they didn't autoclave it, it was like out in the open by a sink or something. Oh, I don't
so
know.
So Amy's going to die of staph infection.
Possibly. Oh. And as she's walking over the pager, she hears somebody paging Jake Donnelly, her
Jake
ex-boyfriend.
Donnelly.
And she's like, oh, my crazy circuits are overloading. And she sees who she thinks is Jake wearing the Letterman jacket.
Yep, and the hat.
Run away. This Malibu Stacy has a hat. And she tracks him into the parking garage.
Yep.
And oh no, it's Dante. Yep. Dressed like Jake.
Because it's really funny because
now I have a friend.
I guess they're supposed to be like showing that she's so bananas, that she's so diluted, like with craziness, that she doesn't see that it's her cousin who is like definitely two sizes bigger than what Jake essentially would be. Like Jake's like a solid, like kind of athletic build, and Dante is of a bigger proportion, and she's just like, yep, that's him.
Well,
that's my boyfriend.
You know, International Women's Day. Clearly a man wrote this, because it's always like, she's so fucking insane, but also a genius, but she's sometimes so insane, she's not a genius.
Yes, exactly. Because at the end of the day, we're still women, and we get our periods.
And she pretty much admits kind of to the crimes.
She doesn't really admit.
While Ben holds her down.
Yeah.
And turns out
Renee.
His friend
Renee
was taping the whole time.
Yep.
And that is the end of Renee. Renee shows up, I think, in three scenes. The first one, she says something about Josh being an idiot. The second one, she's in the background. And this, here she is, our literal Chekhov's black person.
Yeah.
She shows up to be the black person we saw at the beginning of the movie that is a key plot
point. But she doesn't die, so
I guess points there.
Feminism?
Yeah. And the cops are like, fully exonerated, Ben. We're going to take her away.
Yeah, that's literally not how that works.
Except she's like Michael Myers' daughter and fucking pulls the gun out and ganks both of them.
Yo, yeah, because there's a scene where they're like supposed to be transporting her. Like two cops are supposed to be transporting her to, I guess, the jail, whatever.
To jail.
And then
they're actually transporting her directly to death row.
Yes. Records. And so Ooh. They like stop at like train tracks because there's like a fucking train, and she like steals the gun from the guy's like holster, which makes sense because it's actually at a level like one holster and it's, like, doesn't have like the double. But anyways, he's fucking stupid.
It doesn't have the silencer that blows a police helicopter.
Yeah, exactly. No bat signal. And so she like steals the gun and fucking shoots him in the head and shoots the other cop in the head. I'm like, you have killed three people in this movie.
Yeah.
You're a 17-year-old girl, crazy horny, and you just killed three people?
Well, you know, when you get on your period, dude.
My period!
Pulling guns out of left and right. Amy is staying at Ben's house because her parents are in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And
you know when you get hit by cars, they usually let you go after like 30,
She's
40
fine.
Minutes. She does not look fine.
She doesn't. She looks real fucked up. And
now you're all fucked up.
He's pretty much like, oh, my dad used to cheat. So, you know, like, that kind of excuses me cheating on you, right?
Yeah.
Can we be together again?
Well, that's the thing, too. There's, like, a scene that we skipped over. But, like, when Amy finds out that Ben cheated on her and then he gets kicked out of swimming for the steroids, he goes and visits Amy at the diner that she fucking works
creepy.
At. And he's like, oh, me, my poor life. Ugh. And he's, like, crying to Amy about this. And then after Amy gets hit with the car and she's, like, laying up in his house, like, he's like, oh, poor me. And I'm like, you're a shitty fucking boyfriend. Like, this bitch got fucking hit by a goddamn car like 20 minutes ago. Could you just like be empathetic for like a minute?
Here's the thing. As Jesse would say, shorties worldwide.
Yeah.
I was raised by people with very questionable ideologies. And guess what I did? I rose above it.
Huh.
The fact that we have a scene where he's like, my dad did it. So yeah, I did it. Come on. Cut me some fucking slack. It's dumb.
It's dumb and it's stupid.
Now we get our final set piece. Okay.
Dun dun.
Madison gets into the house.
Yes.
Takes one of the baseball trophies, knocks out mom, knocks out Ben, takes Amy to the pool, handcuffs her to a chair. This pool is like, the pool is like its own character in this movie, and that's why this is going in my bag in the Criterion closet.
Thank you, Paul.
Like, much pool. Like New York, the pool is much, its own character.
Much like New York, the pool and, is its own character.
She
much like the pool, it's its own swim fan. Because the pool loves swimming. Because it gives it purpose.
And power.
But it's also used by the swimmers.
That's true. Wow. We're getting real in-depth on this.
And that's why me, David Lynch, am taking this and putting it in my bag in the Criterion closet. Thank you so much.
And... Madison pushes Amy into the pool and is like, tell her you love me.
Yeah, she's like in one of those old wooden like rolling chairs and she's like handcuffed to it. And I'm like, you know what? That's fucking scary. That actually is like a good like kind of usage of the pool.
Outside of the context of everything else that happens in this movie, this would be scary.
Yes.
And he jumps in to save her and he uses the hair clip that Madison gave him.
Which I want to be like,
when did she give it to him again?
In like the first scene.
Okay.
And I want to be like, oh, so you're like over this bitch and you think she's fucking crazy, yet you kept this hairpin? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Sus.
And you called her a good girl a few scenes ago. I don't know. It sounds like you're still in love with her.
I guess it's supposed to be like ironic that he's using the clip.
Yes, I get it. But like, why would you keep it?
He saves Amy. And I guess in the process of trying to hit them with like a rake or some shit.
I think it's like a pool skimmer.
Madison is trying to hit them with. She falls into the pool.
Well, he pulls the pole that she's holding and she falls in.
She falls in and she drowns.
Because she really couldn't swim.
That's crazy.
And I thought it was a lie.
So did I.
And I made the joke. I was like, hey, Madison, just stand up.
And there is literally the resolution of this movie is, I think, less than a minute long.
Yes.
It's a person swimming to the end of the pool, and we're supposed to believe it's Ben, but it's not Ben. Ben's it's watching the swim competition.
Swim match, yep.
And he gets into the car with his girlfriend, and he's like, I abandoned all of my hobbies. Goodbye, movie. And the movie ends.
And the movie ends. It's great. It's perfect. No
notes. How many pool raw doggings do you give this out of 10?
Critically or just my own?
Critically.
Critically? Oh. Critically, oof, I think like 5 raw dogs. Okay,
and then how many do you, for your weird obsession with this film, you're like the swim fan of swim fan in many ways.
I am. I'm like the city itself.
It's like poetry. They rhyme.
Although I'm actually a very good swimmer.
Great. What do you give this as a rating?
8.5.
Jesus Christ.
For these reasons. Like, you had, like, when this came out at the time, it was so fucking horny, and it, like, went in your fucking teenage brain, you're like, oh, this is the sexiest thing that could ever happen. And, like, there's moments that I really like in this movie, and I think it's very accurate of its time and all that stuff. And, like, this bitch fucking kills 3 people, let alone, like, whoever else she fucking murdered that we don't know about. So I think this movie is fun in that way. You should watch it at least once, probably with a bunch of people while you're drinking lots of water. It's fun. I we've watched worse movies. Like, remember Wishbone or whatever that what Wish did?
Wishbone's the story with the dog.
No.
Wishcraft,
that was worse. That was way worse.
I think that was better.
No.
Well, I give this boy about, I would say, 4 raw doggings out of 10.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
It's very silly.
The only saving grace to this is how
horny it is.
How in part the horniness to how like mindless it is about this concept, like how not self-aware of how bad this looks and how it portrays women, and that it moves at this brisk lifetime pace.
It really does move at a brisk pace. What is it, like 90 minutes, you know?
Well, yeah, everything was great before Marvel movies were 2.5 hours. Ugh. But also, this movie moves especially quick, to the point where it is almost comical how quickly we go over the course of a week from I just met you and this is crazy, but now I'm your swim fan, I'm here to kill your baby. See what I did there?
Yeah, I see.
It's Rebecca that song.
Black. Good job, Rebecca Black.
It's Miley Cyrus.
No. This is crazy. I just met you. Yeah, I just met you. This is crazy.
No, I
so
know.
So call
it's not.
Me maybe.
Yeah, it's not, but it's not Rebecca Black.
It's Rebecca Black.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh.
Oh, shit. I just schooled you, dog. International Women's Day.
Putting women in their place on International Women's Day.
The ultimate victory.
Okay, but you can see how I can confuse them. They both have dark hair, and all women look the same.
That's true. International Women's Day. now, I'd like to announce our next movie.
Which I don't know what it is.
From the year 2000.
Okay.
And starring, now, Death Rider in the House of Vampires alumnus Kim Director, Joe Berlinger, and Erica Learson.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You guys were... Everyone was very excited for a sequel, and we got it. Book of Shadows 2, Blair Witch.
Oh, my God.
Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2.
I remember watching this with you.
And we're going to watch it again.
Jesus.
So, until next time, don't blame the movies. Movies don't create psychos.
Movies make psychos more creative.
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming. But more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.